Now, in a moment, the cubs are going to come and read our Bible passage for this morning, but I thought it would be helpful to have a little bit of explanation before they read it. The start of the reading talks about the feast. Let's have that on the slide, please. On the last and greatest day of the feast. And it was one of the festivals that they had every year. A festival that came round year after year. What are some of the feasts that we have? Christmas? Birthdays? Yes, that's right. Amy? Easter would be another one? Yes. Andrew? Burns Night. Okay, right, okay, yes. And of course today, isn't it? Today, Remembrance Day, Remembrance Sunday is something that comes round once every year. Well, this feast was the Feast of Tabernacles, and God had told them what to do. It started on the 15th day of the 7th month of the year, and it lasted not one day, it lasted 7 whole days. It lasted a full week, and this is what God had told them to do. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters so that your descendants will know that I made the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. They were to live in those temporary shelters. That's what a tabernacle is, because they'd lived in those shelters before. So they were to build a shelter out of branches and leaves, that sort of thing. If they lived in a town, they build it on their roof, the roof of their house. If they lived out in the country, out in the field. Now, scouts or explorers, what do you call a temporary shelter that is built out of branches or leaves? Yeah. A bivouac, yes, or a bivvy for short. Okay, for those of you who, if English is not your first language, the full word is bivouac, and that's not an English word either, but it's a French word. But it's the word a bivvy for a temporary shelter. I think we've got a picture of a bivvy here. There we are. Looks like a bush, doesn't it, really? And here's another one. There's a very young Andrew Gales in his scouting days with his friend Sam. So I'm going to rename the Feast of Tabernacles to the Feast of Bivvies. And then we all know what we're talking about. And why were they to live in those bivvies for 7 days? Why did God say live in the bivvies for 7 days? Yes, George or Thomas? Yes, that's right. So they were remembering what had happened to the people beforehand, as you said, and particularly how God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt, and they'd lived in bivvies on that journey. Well, we're remembering today, aren't we? We're remembering those who gave their lives in wars a long time ago. Well, the Feast of Bivvies was all about remembering how God had rescued them out of Egypt. They cried out to God. He'd heard their cry. Eventually, Pharaoh agreed to let them go. They crossed the Red Sea, and God helped them to travel through the desert, living in bivvies as they went. Well, let's now have that reading. The cubs are going to come and read for us. It's page 1072, if you want to grab a Bible.
On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive, Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ."
Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him.
Thank you very much. So in the Feast of Bivvies, they are remembering. They're remembering how God had rescued them out of slavery in Egypt and brought them through the desert. Now, if you're traveling through a desert, what might happen to you? What might you be, if you're going through a dry and dusty desert, what might you be short of? You might be dehydrated indeed. You might get thirsty. And that is what happened actually to them on a couple of occasions. At the beginning of their journey, they all got thirsty, and they were searching for water everywhere. They were looking for water everywhere. And they knew that if they didn't have water, they would die. And then God told their leader, Moses, to strike a particular rock with his stick, with his staff, and that if it did, then water would flow out of it for the people to drink. And that is what happened. God supplied them with water, as much as they needed, to stop them being thirsty, to stop them dying. And something similar happened much later on in the journey. Once again, they were thirsty, without water, they were going to die. And this time God told Moses to speak to the rock and that it would give them water to drink. And once again, God supplied them with water. God gave them life as he gave them that water. So at the end, at the Feast of Bivvies, they're remembering how God got them out of Egypt and how he was with them through on their journey through the desert, particularly how wonderfully God had supplied them with that life-giving water when they were searching for water everywhere. And now, here in John's Gospel, on the Feast of Bivvies, what does Jesus do? Just have a look at verse 37 there, if you've got it in front of you, page 107. What does Jesus do on this Feast of Bivvies? He stands up, doesn't he? He stands up and he speaks, yeah? That's right. Though that word that you had in the Morse code. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. They were remembering how their ancestors had been thirsty, had been in danger of dying in the desert, and God had given them water, God had given them life. And now Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He's saying that what God did for them all those years ago is a picture of what I can do for you. Now, the people that Jesus was speaking to, they weren't in a desert. They were living in Jerusalem. They had enough water to drink. So what does Jesus mean when he says, when he talks about them being thirsty? What do you think Jesus means when he says, if anyone is thirsty? I think so. I think exactly. Thirsty for answers to questions. Answers to those big questions of life. Like, who made me? And is God there? And what is God like? Why are we here at all? And why is this world so broken and messed up? Exactly so. Jesus says, if you are thirsty, if you're searching for answers to those sort of God questions, then come to me and drink. Come to me to find the answers. Come to me to have that thirst satisfied. Come to me for life. The life that is knowing God. A life that lasts forever. And it's a big claim that Jesus is making, isn't he? If someone comes to me and says, Simon, I'm spiritually thirsty, I will try and point them to God, because it's God that they need to meet. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, come to me. Come, I'm the one with the answers. I'm the one who can give you life. You don't need to be searching anymore. You have answers to those big questions. But how can we come to Jesus today? I mean, he's not stood here in front of us, as he was at the Feast of Bivvies when he stood up in front of everybody. How can we come to Jesus today? Well, the good news is that we can come to him by reading John's Gospel here. Because here we have a record of what he said and did. Isn't that brilliant? As you leave, why not pick up a copy? There are some copies of John's Gospel on the little blue table there. It might be a way for you to come to Jesus today. Now, usually we need someone to help us to understand what the Gospels are saying. That's partly why we meet here every Sunday morning. But let me just mention also Kids Club and Kairos, which for youngsters during the week, they meet during the week. And that might be a way for some of you to be coming to Jesus today. Do ask Leonie or myself if you want to know more about that. So here's the big claim Jesus makes, that he can give those answers that satisfy. He can give life, just like fresh water given to people who are dying of thirst. But as well as that claim that Jesus makes, we also heard of a gift that Jesus promises. Verse 38 in our reading, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So Jesus is still talking about water, talking about living water, life-giving water. But what does Jesus mean? Well, fortunately, we don't have to try and guess, because John explains it for us, doesn't he? Verse 39 here, by this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. After Jesus said this, a while later he was crucified, and then he rose from the dead, and then later they all saw him being taken up to heaven. They saw him glorified. And after that, the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus' disciples, what we speak of as the day of Pentecost. Each one of them received the Holy Spirit. God came and lived in them. And here is Jesus promising that would happen. All who come to him, all who believe, have the promise of God the Holy Spirit helping those who come to Jesus. You see, because belonging to Jesus, seeking to follow him today, well, that's not always easy. If we're living with Jesus as our Lord, then it means saying no to living for ourselves. And that's not easy. It means living differently to many people around us. And that's not easy. But here's the good news. When we decide to belong to Jesus, then we're not on our own. God steps across to our side, as it were, to help us. He gives us a desire to live for Jesus that wasn't there before. He gives us courage to live differently to everyone else. He helps us to speak for Jesus so that others who are thirsty can come to Jesus and find that he is the answer to those big questions of life. He gives life, the life that you and I were meant for. In a moment, we're going to sing a final song, but let's, as we sit, let's pray.